Okay, I am going to talk about, the title of my presentation is Observations from the Science Public Health Tour. And so what I'm going to talk about is, this is not an analytical study. I'm not going to throw numbers at you. This is very descriptive. I'm going to describe basically a sort of a fact-finding mission that I had the privilege of being a part of just over a year ago. And I think you're going to see some repeating patterns. And I think what you just heard from Susan Hammond is going to be very consistent with what we observed on our trip. Okay, and I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so the Public Health Science Committee was basically put together by the Vietnam Agent Orange Relief and Responsibility Campaign. And so that's an organization of Vietnam vets who it was felt that they wanted to have observers go into the country and sort of, travel, talk, observe, and come up with basically findings from that. So the committee consisted of 7 scientists and health practitioners, and our host within Vietnam was the Vietnam Association for the Victims of Agent Orange. This took place in 10 days, so in 2012. And what we were really doing was looking to assess the current impact of Agent Orange. And this is based on our own observations. We had discussions with veterans. We had discussions with health practitioners. We interviewed people, and we made site visits. So this is just the committee, and Susan probably notices that actually the remediation site that you saw just a few minutes ago in her presentation is where we're standing, which is on the tarmac in Da Nang. So it's before they dug it up. So, but the among the contingent listed here, we have people who were basically administrators, toxicologists, specialists in disabilities. We had a chemist and myself, who my work has involved dioxins over the years and looking at exposure to dioxins. And I just want to acknowledge that we're with one of our hosts there, Dr. Tim, who is with the military but is also a specialist in sort of chemical and sort of occurrence of the engineering and working with the engineering of the site. So yet another version of the slide you've seen before, and this is just to bring back that, that it was South Vietnam that was sprayed with Agent Orange. According to Gene Stellman's estimate, probably 16% of the country was sprayed. And this brings up a couple of other things, which is that it wasn't just Agent Orange. So Agent Orange you can see on the left. In terms of liters, something like 50 million liters of Agent Orange were sprayed around the country. But there were other defoliants that were sprayed. And so Agent White was sprayed, and we're talking millions of liters of Agent White. That particular agent probably wouldn't contribute to dioxin in the country just because it was 2,4-D and there wasn't any of the 2,4-5-T. Agent Blue is interesting because it is an arsenical. And so when people talk about the co-occurrence of arsenic in the country, that could be one of the reasons. I don't know, it's an interesting association that, the country was also sprayed with arsenical pesticides. So just very briefly, to give you an idea of what our itinerary was, we started in Hanoi, and at these sites we were doing sort of mixed activities. We were, talking to people, we were meeting with public health representatives, people from the government, clinicians, also visiting home sites where there were people with where the issue was possible health effects from Agent Orange. So we traveled throughout the country. We went to Taibin and visited some victims there. We went to Wei. We actually went to Alloway to look at the old airbase there. We spent some time in Da Nang, and then finally Ho Chi Minh City. Okay, so the context for the health effects that we're really interested in is, if you think about this, there's really several different opportunities or situations where there could be exposure. And if there's exposure, there's a possibility of health effects. So one is just the exposure that took place during the conflict when people were sprayed with Agent Orange. The second is, and this is something that Dr. Schechter has referred to, is that there are hot spots. There are, you know, that people can be exposed in 2013, new exposures. That's perfectly possible. And the third one, I just want to mention because, and this is something I want to put out there, there's not a lot of evidence at this point, but the possibility exists, and that's the contemporary manifestation of exposure sustained during the war due to transgenerational effects of dioxins. And what I'm getting at, what we're getting at there is that there are, it is within the realm of possibility that people in contemporary times are exhibiting the effects of dioxins that their grandparents were exposed to. And this is where you get into the realm of epigenetics, and this is where you get into the realm where essentially if a pregnant woman is exposed to a chemical, you're essentially exposing three generations. You're exposing her, you're exposing the fetus, and you're exposing the fetus's germ cells. There is a possibility that essentially the offspring of her grandchildren may carry some of the effects of what is essentially their great-grandmother's exposure. And what this is this is where you have effects of the germline. And so there's an alteration, and that can be transmitted through generations. Now, what I just told you, if I would have heard what I just told you 10 years ago, I would have thought I'd lost my mind. But there is animal data that shows that this is possible, and I think is really moving to demonstrate how these transgenerational mechanisms work. So it's something we have to consider. So I'm putting that out there. I'm not in, you know, so at this point there's not a lot of evidence, but when we talk about trying to figure out what's going on, I think that's something that really does need to come into the mix. Okay, so what we actually did based on these exposure situations is that we wanted to look at contemporary exposure. Is it possible that people can be exposed to remaining sites? And so for that, we observed possible contaminated sites. So we spent some time in Da Nang, and this is, you know, Da Nang during the conflict. You see barrels of Agent Orange, and this is, you know, this is taking place on the tarmac. We met with this is Dr. Tam again, looked over, you know, he gave us a good orientation on the site as it stands today, and also the planned remediation, which we now has been undertaken. We went out to the site. This is interesting. This is actually, it looks lovely, but it's a very contaminated site. This is Sen Lake, where essentially when they hosed off the tarmac after filling the plains with Agent Orange, the runoff went into this lake. So this is a pretty contaminated site. We walked around, we see, you know, some of the collection for some of the soil there. And, you know, so this is a site that is recognized as contaminated and is being remediated. And it's because, you know, Da Nang is a growing city. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why this site got a lot of attention. It's a developing area. In contrast, we also went to Alloway, and this is, if I had a pointer, I would point at this, but this is north If you look at the map there, it's in the northern section of the map, and near the Laotian border. So this is a former air base. And right now, it's really hard to see any evidence of it being a former air base. But it is, Hatfield has done some assessment. It is fairly contaminated with dioxin. But it's, you know, it's a bit out of the way, and it's occupied. People are living there, you know, conducting daily lives, a very rural area. So there's not much being done in terms of remediation about the around this type of site. And as Susan actually showed the very nice map, there are unremediated sites all over the country. Okay, the other question that we're interested in was the health impact of past exposure. Has the health of the populace at large been affected by the spraying of Agent Orange? And here, you know, very much observational investigation, look at this, and we visited homes of disabled veterans, and it can be heart-wrenching. But again, you know, the exact, you know, pathology, reasons for illness, there's no way that we could tell, and even with more medical expertise than we had at the time in terms of diagnostics, there still would be no way to tell. So the other thing this brings to mind is the concern that, and I think this has been echoed throughout the different presentations, of what's going on with children. What are the developmental effects? So just to summarize this, there's a lot of data that shows dioxins have effect on developing organisms. There's very good animal models that show the biochemical and immunological and endocrine effects. There are epidemiological studies that show developmental effects in neonates and in early growth. You see a lot of neurodevelopmental effects. Seveso is an interesting example because it was a high exposure. And whereas the other epidemiological studies that we have, generally we're talking about, there's dosimetry, but the exposures are fairly low. We're looking at, you know, the Netherlands or Japan. What we are just getting is some information about what is going on in Vietnam. There's a recent study done by the Japanese which has found in contemporary times, this is just published, basically neurodevelopmental and growth effects among children. And this is in the early years of life with maternal exposure primarily. That's consistent with what we're seeing in the other studies. And then there's the whole issue of congenital abnormalities. There's a lot of reasons. There is Dr. Fung's study that was done during the war, but it's a sticky thing to figure out because there really has never been a systematic study of that. During wartime, it was difficult to do. In contemporary times, there really hasn't been no study of that. And then there's just the consideration of the transgenerational impact, and there is data for TCDD in rodents. It's been demonstrated. So, just some photos because that's all I have time for. But we did go through and we visited individuals at various different sites and saw some really heart-wrenching malformations. We visited sites that were essentially group facilities. This one is in Ho Chi Minh City at Peace Village. It's actually in the hospital. You see some, you know, very, you know, serious malformations of different sorts. We visited a couple of homes in Da Nang, and again, it's striking, the number of children as well as the severity of the malformations. And we talked to people all along the way. We talked to people that were doing the public health, that actually, you know, were dealing with this and trying to set up both care and recognizing the need for better understanding of what, you know, what is behind this. And here's Dr. Fung, who has been really instrumental. And she, you know, people talk about the lack of epidemiological evidence. She has done the studies that are in existence. There are limitations, but she also was a physician during the war, and she saw a change, which she described, the beginning of the occurrence of these malformations that weren't present prior to the war. So, that's something we do want to take into account. So where this leaves us, conclusions. So this is no secret and no big surprise that there are still a lot of hotspots, the areas that are contaminated, and that a lot of them aren't really receiving a lot of attention. So we have to keep that in mind. We observed children with severe anomalies. There's a variety. We can't comment on the causation, but if there's anything I would like to emphasize is the need to really look into that further. It may be Agent Orange. It may not be Agent Orange. I think people that have traveled in developing worlds are really struck by sort of the severity and number of anomalies. And I think there, it may be something else. It may be a combination of factors that are behind it, but there really is a need to address that. And the final conclusion is that there is hazard that exists, and it really merits further support and monitoring. So in the studies that have been done that I described, we know a lot about the effect of maternal exposure. We don't know much about paternal exposure, and then transgenerational effects are still up in the air. I want to just, before I leave, just mention that I don't think the malformations are due to transgenerational effects. I think the transgenerational effects, if found, are going to be subtle. I want to make sure that that's clear. The other thing I want to mention, and I should have acknowledgments, I'd like to thank our host in Vietnam and also the families that were trusting enough to have people come into their homes and talk to them, and also the health practitioners and clinicians that were willing to share their time with us. Thank you.